side one starts immediately, and this is tape 3 of Kitab al-Salah. We start this tape with the purpose of the congregational prayer. Performance of the prayer in congregation is a great Islamic practice through which equality and justice are made manifest. Here, the ruler and the subject, the old and the young, the rich and the poor, the powerful and the downtrodden, the influential and the wretched, all assemble in rows, shoulder to shoulder, in front of Allah, the Almighty, with neither differences nor distinctions between them. All of them servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They meet on common ground in the houses of Allah, thinking only of Him in humility, in due regard to the following verse of the Holy Quran. Verily, the most honored of you in the sight of Allah is He who is the most righteous of you. The Holy Quran, Surah number 49, verse number 13. Islam is a religion of great social order, and when a community of Muslims in a given area meets at the congregational prayers 5 times each day, then certainly we can imagine the innumerable benefits that could be derived. People knowing each other, people learning each other's affairs, people meeting their leaders and community heads, people discussing and solving their day-to-day problems, people cooperating, etc. Thus, cohesiveness, unity, love, and brotherhood become truly evident among the Muslim community. In an Islamic state, the head of the state or his representative is supposed to lead the 5 daily congregational prayers at the central mosque of the capital city, as was the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in the first Islamic state established at Medina. The leader or head of the Islamic state would of course be a person of unquestionable integrity, known to be more knowledgeable than his subjects, and above all righteous. Persons wishing to perform a congregational prayer would choose from amongst themselves an imam, leader, who has the qualities described above, and who would stand in front of the others at the center of the row. After the second call for the prayer, iqama, is performed, the imam turns toward the congregation and would endeavor to straighten out the rows and urge the congregation to stand close to each other as much as possible. These acts were established practices of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as can be noted from the following sayings. Number 1. Straighten your rows and stand close to each other in prayer, reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. Number 2. You shall have to straighten your rows in prayer, or else Allah will create differences among you, reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. The Imam thereafter starts the prayer with the words of Takbiratul Ihram, as usual, and the congregation would follow suit. The congregation would then proceed to complete the prayer as discussed in detail earlier. The prayer of a traveling person, Al-Musafir. Islam is a religion full of mercy, and because of the hardships and inconveniences which a person usually undergoes during travels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made certain concessions to the traveler. One of these concessions is that a traveler may shorten some of the obligatory prayers. Allah says in the Holy Quran, when you travel through the earth, there is no blame on you if ye shorten your prayers. Surah number 4, verse 101. Because of this grant, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is an established practice that a traveling Muslim may shorten the 4 rakats obligatory prayers into 2 rakats only. Thus, the Dhuhr, Asr and Isha prayers may each be shortened into 2 rakats. However, the Maghrib and the Fajr prayers cannot be shortened and are to be performed in full. It's also an established practice that the traveler may combine some of the obligatory prayers. Thus, the Dhuhr prayer may be delayed until the time of the Asr prayer when both will be performed, or the Asr prayer may be brought forward to the time of the Dhuhr prayer when both will be performed. Likewise, the Isha prayer may be brought forward to the time of Maghrib prayer, or the Maghrib prayer may be delayed until the time of Isha prayer. The Fajr prayer can neither be brought forward nor delayed and has to be performed at its prescribed time. Characteristics of combining the prayers. Number 1. Each prayer will be performed separately. 2. Only one prayer call, adhan, shall be made for both prayers, but 2 second calls, that's iqamas, shall be required. That is, 1 second call, iqama, shall be made separately for each prayer. If we may give an example, assuming that a traveler wishes to combine Dhuhr and Asr prayers by bringing the Asr prayer forward to the time of the Dhuhr prayer, the person would proceed as follows. 1. The person would first come up with the call for prayer, and then intending it for both the 2 prayers. Number 2, the person would then come up with the second call, iqama, for the Dhuhr prayer. 3. The person would then perform the Dhuhr prayer, shortening it to 2 rakats only. 4. After completing the Dhuhr prayer, the person stands up and makes another second call, that's iqama, for the Asr prayer. Number 5. The person would then perform the Asr prayer, also shortened to 2 rakats only. Note: a traveler may lead the prayer as an imam of the residence of the place he is visiting, and in such a case, he, being an imam, may perform only 2 rakats for the Dhuhr, Al-Asr and Al-Isha prayers, while the residence he is leading shall, upon his completion, continue to complete the remaining 2 rakats of the respective prayers. However, in such cases, it is desirable that the traveler who may act as an imam first gives notice to the congregation regarding his position and his intention to shorten his prayer so that the congregation continues to complete the prayer. On the other hand, if the traveler has to pray behind an imam who is a resident of the place he is visiting, then in such case, the traveler shall pray with the imam all the 4 rakats as usual. Performance of the prayer by one who is sick. A sick person has to perform the prayer in accordance with the person's conditions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once asked by a sick companion as to how he can perform the prayer, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied him as follows: pray standing, but if unable, then by sitting, and if still unable, then do so whilst on your back. Reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. Thus, number 1, if it is impossible for the sick person to stand up, he or she shall perform the prayer by sitting and making token gestures for the ruku'ah and sujood positions by bringing the head slightly down as indication for ruku'ah and slightly further down as indication for sujood. Number 2, If it is impossible for the sick person to pray sitting, he or she shall perform the prayer by lying on his or her back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those are they, men of understanding, who remember Allah while standing, sitting, and reclining. Surah number 3, verses 190 and 191. The person's legs are directed towards the Qibla and will make mere token gestures as far as possible with the head for the bowing ruku' and the prostration sujood positions. Number 3. If still it is impossible for the sick person to perform the prayer while lying as discussed in number 2 above, then the person shall perform the prayer by heart. The person shall come up with all the required recitations as far as possible, and will recall to mind all the necessary postures for the prayer. Such is the importance of the prayer in Islam that a person must perform it no matter what his or her condition. Voluntary prayers. Besides the prescribed obligatory prayers, a person may come up with as many voluntary prayers as is possible. Through voluntary prayers, a person receives additional rewards, and through them, he draws closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although a person will not be punished for neglecting to perform voluntary prayers, however, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had set a tradition of practicing certain voluntary prayers before and or after the obligatory prayers, and every Muslim is strongly recommended to perform them. These are as follows. A. Al-Dhuhr, noon prayer. 4 rakas before, with each 2 rakas performed separately, and 2 rakats after. B. Al-Maghrib, sunset prayer. 2 rakats after. C. Al-Isha, evening prayer. 2 rakats after. E. Al-Fajr, dawn prayer. 2 rakats before. These voluntary prayers are known in Arabic language as Ar-Rawatib, which may be constructed to mean definite practices, and the Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam, used to preserve their performance continuously whenever in residence. However, during his travels, he used to omit their practice except the 2 rakats before the Fajr prayer. Performance of these 2 rakats is so important that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "These 2 rakats are more important to me than the whole world," reported by Al-Imam Muslim. While there is no objection to perform these optional prayers at the mosque, it is preferred to perform them at home in view of the following saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, "The best of the prayers are those which are fulfilled at one's home, with the exception of the obligatory prayers, which are to be performed with the congregation at the mosque," reported by Al-Imam Abi Dawood. Fulfilling these 12 voluntary prayers is a means to gain admission to paradise, as can be noted from the following saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, "Whoever prays optionally 12 rakats every one day and night, Allah will reward him by an established dwelling in the paradise," reported by Al-Imam al-Bukhari. Besides the above 12 definite voluntary prayers, the person may also pray 4 optional rakats before Salat al-Asr, afternoon prayer, and 2 before Al-Isha, the evening prayer, because these were also reported to have been practiced by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Times when performance of voluntary prayers is prohibited. There are certain times when voluntary prayers are not allowed to be performed, and these are as follows. Number one, in between the Fajr prayer and the rising of the sun. Number two, in between when the sun is close to its zenith and the Dhuhr prayer. Three, in between the Asr prayer and until sunset. However, a person can perform the two rak'ats prayed as salutation to mosques whenever a person enters a mosque, even though the time of entering the mosque may coincide with one of the above stated timings. This is in accordance with the following prophetic saying: any one of you entering the mosque should not sit until after performing two rak'ats. Reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. Al-Jumu'ah prayer, Friday. Besides the five obligatory prayers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also ordained the Jumu'ah, Friday, congregational prayer as a necessary prayer on the Muslim nation, Ummah, as is made clear in the following verse of the Holy Quran. O ye who believe, on the calls proclaimed to prayer on Friday, the day of assembly, hasten earnestly to the remembrance of Allah and leave off business and traffic. That is best for you if ye but knew. Surah number 62, verse number 9. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also in exhorting the Muslims to the importance of the Friday prayer said, they, the people, will have no stop neglecting the Friday prayer, or otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see in their hearts and they will be counted among the negligent. Reported by Imam Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also said, he who deliberately neglects three consecutive Friday prayers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a mark on his heart. Reported by Al-Imam Abi Dawood. By virtue of the above Quranic verse, as well as the respected sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, the Friday congregational prayer is therefore a duty, wajib, required from every adult and free Muslim who is in residence. Friday is a glorious day in Islam and represents a great weekly meeting in which the Muslims gather in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leaving aside all worldly affairs. The Jumu'ah prayer is therefore specified or specific with a sermon in which the mosque preachers, that is the imams, discuss and deal with the daily problems of the Muslim society and give enlightenment from the torch of Islam. The Jumu'ah prayer reflects that Islam is a great social order which fosters brotherhood, abhors disunity, and discourages evils. The Jumu'ah is not a duty on women, who instead may perform the obligatory Dhuhr, noon prayer, at their homes, although they may join the Jumu'ah prayers. If by doing so does not affect their household duties or cause them any inconvenience. The performance of the Jumu'ah Friday prayer. Performance of the Jumu'ah prayer is only allowed in the congregational mosques where Muslims congregate and from where the imam gives them advice and spiritual insights. The time for the Jumu'ah prayer is the time of the Dhuhr prayer, although some Muslim jurists and scholars are of the opinion that it is permissible to perform it before the sun reaches its zenith. Much importance and reward has been attached by Islam to the timings of going to the Friday prayer, as can be noted from the following saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him: any person who takes total ablution, ghusl, on Friday and goes out for the Friday prayer in the first hour, that is early, it's as if he sacrificed a camel in Allah's cause. And whoever goes in the second hour, it's as if he sacrificed a cow. And whoever goes in the third hour, it's as if he sacrificed a horned ram. And whoever goes in the fourth hour, it's as if he sacrificed a hen. And whoever goes in the fifth hour, then it is as if he offered an egg. When the imam comes out to deliver the sermon, the angels present themselves to listen to the sermon, reported by Al-Imam al-Bukhari. However, it is a recommended Islamic tradition that the person comes up with the following prerequisites before going out to the Friday prayer. Number one, undertaking ghusl, that is total bath. The Prophet ﷺ in this regard says, ghusl on Friday is necessary, wajib, upon every adult person, reported by Al-Imam al-Bukhari. Number two, putting on the best and cleanest of clothes. Number three, perfuming of oneself. Having undertaken the above prerequisites, the person then proceeds to the mosque in tranquility, fully conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you pardon me, I have to comment on this, referring to the fact that ladies, it's strictly prohibited for ladies, for women, Muslim women, to perfume themselves or their clothes or anything they're carrying in Islam. Upon reaching the mosque, the person enters by stepping in with the right foot, first proclaiming the following private supplication. Back to my comment, this only applies outside her house or in the presence of a non-mahram to her. But of course she can do it with her own family and with her mahrams. We've just said that when he's entering the mosque, he enters with his right foot, proclaiming the following private supplication. Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Allahumma ighfir li dhunubi waftah li abwaab rahmatik. Which means, in the name of Allah, may peace and blessings be on the Messenger of Allah. O Lord, forgive me my sins and open to me the gates of your mercy. Having entered the mosque, the person comes up with two rakats as salutation to the mosque, in accordance with the following famous saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him: if any one of you enters the mosque, do not sit until you have performed two rakats. That's reported by Al-Imam al-Bukhari. The person then awaits for the sermon to start and may in the meantime read the Holy Quran and or come up with whatever supplications he can. When the imam enters the mosque, the muadhin, that is the prayer caller, would make the adhan, that is the call to the prayer, and the person would be answering the call in the manner already discussed earlier. When the muadhin completes the adhan, the imam climbs the pulpit to deliver the sermon, and the person is required to devote his whole attention and is forbidden to talk or keep oneself busy with even minor activities in the course of the sermon. The Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, says in this regard, he who performs ablution properly and comes to the Jumu'ah prayer and listens to the sermon attentively will have his sins from the previous Friday plus three more days forgiven, and he who occupies himself with parables during the sermon has performed badly. Reported by Al-Imam Muslim. Upon completion of the first part of the sermon, the imam sits down for a brief pause and then stands up again for the second part of the sermon. After that, he comes down from the pulpit and the muaddin makes the second call for the prayer, which is al-iqamah, and a two-rakat congregational prayer is accordingly performed, which is the same in all respects to the fajr prayer. Upon completing the Jumu'ah prayer, a person may come up with voluntary prayers, which if done at the mosque, consists of four rakats, each two rakats performed separately. But if done at home, upon one's return from the mosque, consists only of two rakats, as the Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, used to do. The prayers of the two feasts. They are, number one, the prayer of the feast of breaking the fasting of the month of Ramadan, that is known as Eid al-Fitr prayer. Number two, the prayer of the feast of inhalation or immolation, known as Eid al-Adha prayer. We shall now discuss the mode of performing each of these prayers. Eid al-Fitr prayer. Upon completion of the obligatory fasting of the blessed month of Ramadan, Muslims celebrate the occasion of breaking the fast by festive celebrations, which last for 3 days. The Muslims welcome the feast with prayer and private supplications and by giving praise to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This prayer is performed as follows. A. On the first day of Shawwal, the month that follows Ramadan, the person goes to the Eid mosque or praying ground, having undertaken the following recommended acts. Number one, taking total ablution, which is ghusl. Number two, dressed in the best of clothes, preferably new clothing. Three, assumed a breaking of the fast by eating at least a few pieces of dates. This is in accordance with the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And an odd number is preferred, that is 3, 5, 7, 9, and so on. Number four, it is the practice sunnah to head to the Eid praying center by walking. Upon arrival at the place of prayer, the person sits and waits for the prayer to begin. Letter B. After about 20 minutes from clear sunrise, the imam stands up for the prayer and loudly signifies the entering into prayer by reciting the Takbiratul Ihram, that is, Allahu Akbar. The whole congregation also follows suit by reciting the Takbiratul Ihram. Letter E. As usual with any other prayer, the person thereafter comes up with the opening supplication known as Du'a'ul Istiftah. Here is something he forgot to mention, the author, that the Takbiratul Ihram is repeated in Salatul Eid. Especially for Salatul Eid, the first rak'ah, the imam says it or repeats it 7 times. Whereas the second rak'ah, when he comes up from sujood prostration, he repeats it 5 times. And if he doesn't mention it after that, this would be an enough comment. But he does mention it here. He says here, after that the imam says Allahu Akbar for 6 more times, and the congregation would follow likewise between each recitation of Allahu Akbar. Every person recites to himself in a low voice the following supplication: Allahu Akbar kabira, walhamdulillahi kathira, wa subhanallahi bukratan wa asila, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. Which means, Allah is great, all thanks and praises are due to Allah, glory be to Allah, and may Allah bless His Messenger and grant him salvation. Note, besides the above supplication, the person may recite any other recommended supplications, E. After completing the recitations of the words of greatness, which total up to 7, the Imam would then seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the cursed Satan in a low voice by saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. He would thereafter silently invoke Allah's name by saying, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And then recite Al-Fatiha, the opening chapter of the Holy Quran, in a loud voice. The followers' congregation would then say Ameen together loudly after the Imam completes reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. Each follower would then recite Al-Fatiha silently. It is recommended that the Imam thereafter recite the whole of the chapter 87 of the Holy Quran, that is, Sabbihisma, glorified be the name of the Lord, the Most High. The followers are required to listen to the Imam's recitation.